Hello and welcome. You are listening to What If, a podcast for tarot professionals where we talk about all kinds of subjects that most of us maybe don't want to talk about, but we really need to discuss. In every episode, we are tackling a lot of big questions that you might be privately wondering about. And we look at these questions, but we also look at options and solutions because our goal is to help you transition into your life with a very sustainable life, no matter what your situation may be. And some of the subject matter might be a little intimidating or scary, but, you know, ultimately our podcast is about inspiration and encouragement. And our philosophy is that every dilemma can be resolved and things are always easier when you know that you are not the only person feeling nervous or stuck. After all, we are all in this together. I'm your host, Teresa Reed, also known as the Tarot Lady, and this is episode 2, and we are going to get down to business because we are going to be discussing tarot business, how to set your business up to sustain you, and I'm here with my wonderful co-host, Wald Amberstone of the Tarot School. Hello, Wald.
Hello, Teresa. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Are you ready to talk about business today?
I am. I'm always ready to talk about business.
So before we get talking about, you know, some of the nuts and bolts of business, what are some of the things that you're hearing from fellow tarot professionals or peers or those who maybe want to go pro? What are some of the concerns that you've been hearing?
Well, one of the primary concerns, which seems to be fairly perennial, is that the first kind of business that a tarot person might consider becoming professional at is being a reader. And somebody who has not yet become a professional oftentimes feels worried that they're not quite up to the task. They feel untried, they feel uncertain, they have a possible self-esteem issue. They measure themselves against people who have been in the business for a long time and don't know whether they'll measure up. And a good deal of the problem of transition for those people is simply the question of self-confidence. That seems to be pretty much the most common, predominant problem for going from simply an interested amateur or somebody who's got a lifelong passion to becoming a professional reader. That transition seems to be, you know, the issue, how to go from not knowing about yourself to being sure of yourself enough to present yourself as a payable person.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the second problem is how much to charge. Let's assume you're willing to give it a try. How much do you charge? How should you position yourself in the marketplace of tarot readers, of whom there are many, many? Where should you start? How should you proceed? There's a lot of things that go into the process of getting over the hump of turning yourself from an amateur into a pro. Those are the things that I discovered to be the most obvious, the most prevalent, the most common issues, you know, facing tarot readers who are going to become professional.
Right. One of the things that I find that I hear all the time when I work with people and mentor people, there's a lot of fear also about business. You know, think about this. Tarot people, Wald, what do we want to do? We want to read cards, right? And so the idea then of becoming a professional may sound exciting until we start thinking about things like taxes or a website or should I get zoned and this and that. That is one of the biggest things that I find is that people really get intimidated and scared about the whole running a business part. Do you come across that too?
Yes, I do, but less so. Once a person has decided that that's what they want to do, they usually find a way. The main thing is to make the decision to do it. Once they have made the decision to do it, there are resources, as you well know. Nowadays, you can find anything online. Any kind of information you need about procedure can be found there. And again, the insecurities that deal with dealing with the government, taxes, expenses, keeping track of, you know, keeping good records, that kind of thing. Those are things which people oftentimes don't even know about. They're not even aware that they're going to have to do that until they actually get into it. So from a certain point of view, they're protected by their innocence.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even know what to be afraid of.
Right. So why don't you tell me how you got started running your business, Walt?
Well, the way I got started, oddly enough, I got started doing business a long time ago, and it had nothing to do with tarot. And I simply had a bad accident, was in the hospital for a good long time, and found that when I came out, I was in no shape physically to go to work for anybody. Mm. Nobody would have hired me, and I couldn't have done the job. So I was taught by a friend of mine how to do a small business that I won't describe at the moment. And it worked. I tried it, and it worked. And not only that, I showed my wife of the time, my second wife, how to work it with me. And the two of us worked together as partners, and we built a small business that became a medium-sized business and did very well. Subsequently, I sold that business and started another one. And little bit by little bit, I learned how to, you know, progress from a sole proprietor to a partner to a small corporation. And I did that over and over and over again. And I have been basically living on my energy, my intelligence, my creativity, and my independence of spirit for now 40 years. And I've had many businesses on many levels and done fairly well at all of them. And after a while, I don't even remember the exact details of how it was started. As far as tarot is concerned, I sat with a group of people one day in a learning center where tarot was one of the subjects taught, and we all decided that we could do better than the kinds of classes that were being done. We decided that we could create a school where people could have regular attendance and learn long and deep and ask all the questions they wanted and follow up every lead that they thought about and have a core group of people to work with and be able to come to the same place once a week, every week, and pay the same amount of money, just exactly the way you would go to school. And we figured that over the long haul, people would learn better that way, they would learn more deeply, more thoroughly that way, and they would be able to pursue their interests more completely than simply going to the occasional lecture, which was all that was available at the time. We thought we knew more than our students would know, and we did, but not by much,
mm-hmm.
which is really very funny. The innocence of the beginning entrepreneur was with us. It was like the force being with you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We just sailed along on our own ignorance and taught what we knew, which was more than what our students knew, and our students forced us to continuously improve our knowledge. And little bit by little bit over the years, we got better and better. We knew more and more, had more and more skill and more confidence in what we were doing, and our students were actually a force underneath us, pushing us to go further and further and do better and better. But it's been a 21-year haul now.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of that time, we find ourselves doing a lot more than teaching class.
Right.
Business has become more complex. We offer many more products and services than we did at the beginning. And our challenge has been to keep up with our own creativity, to provide the structure and the conservative, balanced business approach that would allow us to sustain the totality of our creative endeavors. It's been an interesting road to follow, and it continues to go forward without any end in sight. It would be lovely if we could do something like what Stuart Kaplan did and create a business that makes millions of dollars. We never did that, but we
mm-hmm.
did fairly well.
Mm-hmm.
How big or small anybody gets, you know, it depends entirely on their personality, their ambition, their energy, their skill, their luck, all of those things. So you can go from the tiniest beginning to the biggest, you know, enterprise simply by following your own nose.
Right. You know what I'm hearing here, and it's something I can relate to also, is you pretty much got into the business world without having an MBA or big business training, and it's been a journey where you've been constantly learning and evolving. Is that right?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. You know, while my story was also kind of like similar but different, I didn't have an accident, but I had, you know, gone through a divorce. I was also in the midst of trying to figure out who I am, what do I want to be when I grow up, and I decided to get a job bartending. I had worked in offices before, and I got a job bartending because I thought, you know, this is going to give me, it's going to give me room to think about what I want to do with myself, and I could just in the meantime sling a couple of drinks, get to know some people, et cetera, et cetera. So that was where actually my career began, because I had at that point been reading tarot for 10 years. It was a passion of mine since I was a teenager. Never in a million years did I assume there'd be a business for it. And so I was bartending, and I ended up being put on the deadest shift. And so I thought, well, this is no good. I'm not making any tips here. And I need to do something to pass the time, so I thought I'll just bring my tarot cards in. And I brought my tarot cards in, and sooner or later, people started showing up just for that. And what ended up happening is I started to have some very popular days at the bar. I was making very good money then because people loved the readings. And so, you know, I was really flourishing as a bartender slash tarot reader. But what was happening is a lot of these people coming in for readings were saying, you know, this is great, but I'd like something more private. I'd like a more in-depth reading. I'll pay you for something more. And that was when it crossed my mind, oh, I could get paid for this? You know, I didn't think about it like that. And so I remember then saying to my boss at the time that, you know, I think I'm going to think about starting a business doing this. And this guy went and told somebody that I would fail. And I've told this story a million times. That's the one thing is, if you tell me I'm going to fail, that's a dare. And that is, for me, all the impetus I need to get going. And so what ended up happening then is I quit and gave my 2 weeks' notice. And I had no business skill, no MBA. I didn't know what the heck I was doing. I was pretty slack-jawed in the beginning, but I started. And because I had built up a clientele at this bar, there were people already like, let me hire you for a party. I want you to come over to my house. You know, so I was came off the gate right away working, and I was able to sustain myself. Now, I didn't make a lot of money in the beginning, and, you know, nobody wants to hear that in this day and age. We want to hear six figures right out the gate. It doesn't work like that. There's no overnight success, but I'm a very quick learner, and so I started learning about business and studying and developing my business slowly over the years, that I'm still, like you, evolving and trying to rein in some of these creative ideas. But it's been a journey, and I think that would be the best way to describe, you know, what you've been doing and what I've been doing. It hasn't just been a straight business like maybe what we would assume it would be like or what business would be like. It looks very different on the inside. But we've both been in business a long time. I've been at this now 25 years. This is a long, long time, and this has been my full-time gig.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
How easy or difficult would it be, in your estimation, for a person to begin a journey if they are already a mature person who is at the end, perhaps, of a career already and is thinking of transitioning to something new and different, more interesting and more to their liking, but they're already old enough so that a 25- or 30-year journey might be a bit daunting?
Well, you know, here's the wonderful thing when you're older. I find that when you're older, you actually have a benefit as a tarot reader. And this is going to sound completely crazy, but, you know, I started my tarot career, I was really young. And what would happen then is people would come in and they'd be like, well, who's this little punk giving me this advice? How do you know this stuff? Now, as I'm older and I let my hair grow nice and gray, nobody ever does that. They respect you because they see that you are wise. You have not just tarot experience, but life experience. So the one thing I want to get across to older tarot readers is that your life experience is a benefit. You are going to be able to come into this actually with that energy, and people really oftentimes feel a lot more confident if they see that you do have some experience underneath your belt. So actually, older readers have an advantage. And so that's the first thing I want all older readers to know. Doesn't matter if you're 65 or 75 or even 80, if you feel called to do it, you should not be intimidated by your age. It's actually an asset. And starting a business now in this day and age is, it can be, first of all, it can be relatively simple. So let me just talk about some businesses, Walt. You know, for me, I have, like, a business totally set up here, you know, and I've got a lot of balls and in the air, a lot of bells and whistles moving here. But it doesn't have to be as complicated as my business. For some person, what they may decide to do is maybe perhaps have a side business where they work one day a week at a coffee shop, and they do readings there. It doesn't have to be a big complicated thing with a website. It can be as simple as a business card and meeting people at a coffee shop. That can be the beginning of the journey, and that journey can be as long or as short or as busy or as non-busy as you want. It can be as relaxed as you want. I think one of the things that we have to realize, no matter what age we are, is that we can define a business to suit our needs and to suit our personalities. And that really requires us to sit down and get clear on, how do I want to work? What is the problem that I'm looking to solve? And how can I solve it for people? And I think if we start out by thinking like that and thinking of how we want to work, we can then begin our path no matter what age we are, and we can begin it in a way that doesn't feel scary. We can have a business that's just right, you know, kind of like Goldilocks, right? It's just right.
Yep.
It doesn't have to be big or small. And our business and our business journeys, no matter, again, what age you start at, it's going to look very different for everybody.
Well, you know, when you start something,
yeah,
you don't start from scratch.
Mm-mm.
You are always at the end of the journey you've taken so far. Everybody has reached whatever point in their life they have reached at this moment by following the path of their own life. And so when you reach the point where you want to start a business for the first time, if that's what you're doing, it will simply be a fork in a path. On this fork, you could decide to do the business. On the other fork, you could decide not to do the business and do something else. If you decide to take the fork in the road that starts your own business, you will be going from the point where the fork began. You will already have experience. You will already have skills. You will already have a strong personal history that determines your style. And so your business is going to be a self-portrait. Your business
right.
is going to continue from where you are taking that fork. You don't start at the beginning. It's not as though you were born today and all of a sudden you are brand new in this world and have to decide what you want to do. This is simply a matter of taking one or another of several possibilities that open before you, because perhaps you reached a time in your life when you can actually make a choice. I think, I'm not sure how you know, how you feel about this, but a good deal of your younger years are spent just doing what everybody else does.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you go to school because everybody tells you to go to school. You go to work because that's what people do.
Right.
You get married, or you do this, or you do that, or you travel. Whatever it is that you do it because those are the possibilities that the world presents to you, and you choose which ones of those you want to do, and you follow a normal path for the most part. Then you get to a point later on, after you've explored those normal paths, and then you can decide, if you wish, to take a path less well-traveled.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, you are actually prepared. It's as though all of your earlier life was a springboard that will allow you to dive off into somewhat of the unknown if you want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get the pleasure of excitement as well as whatever benefits you get economically. I mean, a business is largely a self-portrait.
I totally agree with that. And, you know, each one of our businesses, each one of us as tarot readers, we're all very, very unique. We, you know, we're lucky that we have such a diverse community and so many different things to offer. So no matter who you are or what stage of your life you are in or, you know, how old you are, you're going to bring something very unique to the tarot world. And the tarot world needs that diversity because not every client is looking to come and work with me. Not every client wants to study tarot. You know, not every person wants to get a therapeutic reading. Some people want this, they want that. So there's a lot of work available, and we can all bring our experiences and our personalities forward and really create something to serve people.
Are you, let me see, how would I describe this, concerned primarily with the business of being a reader? Do you have other possibilities for people, other roads for them to follow in the tarot world as businesses besides that?
For me, I'm straight up tarot reader. That is, I mean, I do some business mentoring on the side mm-hmm. because I actually have a really weird knack for business is one thing I mm-hmm. discovered. And I have a lot of clients who are, you know, CEOs or involved mm-hmm. in businesses. And, you know, it's really funny, Walt, some of the biggest fan letters I get for the business posts I write aren't coming from tarot people. Some of them are coming from people who work straight jobs as CEOs, which is really mm-hmm. interesting to me. So I do have a lot of business interest and a lot of business experience, and I do offer people some mentoring and help with that. But, you know, really, I am an old-school tarot reader. I love to read tarot.
Uh-huh.
I'm into tarot. I never get sick of tarot. I love my clients. I love solving problems with people. I like looking at predictions and outcomes. You know, I really enjoy what I do. It's a passion for me. And so I always knew that once I really got rolling with my business and I've tested out different things, I knew the one thing I wanted to keep doing mostly was tarot. And also what I've learned over the years is I work better in a one-on-one setting.
Uh-huh.
I'm very intimate. I'm very practical. I don't do well in, like, party settings. I did that for years. And parties, by the way, can make a lot of money, but they don't serve a personality like mine.
Right.
And so, you know, that's something I've learned over the years. But for me, I do some teaching here and there, but tarot's my main bread and butter, and I do a lot of tarot.
Well, let me ask you, if you have enough experience and enough sense of your own uniqueness to be able to or to want to pass that information along in the form of writing a book.
Right. Well, I'm actually in the middle of that. That book's going to be completed in November.
Good for you. Congratulations.
So there will be a way for me to share some of my little tarot wisdom out there. So, yes, I've written a lot of little e-books, too, for people. So I do have other streams of income that I use. But, you know, again, it all at the end of the day, if people say, well, Teresa, what kind of business do you have? Well, I'm a tarot reader.
Right. What? Now, in my case, I am not primarily a reader, although, of course, I do readings. I am primarily a teacher.
Right.
And my passion is teaching, not reading.
Yeah, that's a different avenue.
It's a different avenue, and it turns out to be a business that has got lots and lots of facets and actions to it.
Yeah.
It gets complex, and it is actually my primary business in the same way that being a reader is yours.
Yep.
We all know a number of people who have made their primary living from tarot in the form of creating decks.
Yes.
There are one or two people who are spectacularly successful in creating and selling decks.
Right, like Ciro Marchetti is a really
exactly.
good
as I understand it, he sold more decks than anybody since Arthur Waite.
That doesn't surprise me because his decks are wonderful.
Yeah, regardless of what you might think of any particular person's style or ability, it is a business unto itself, and there's
yep.
more than one person who does that. There are people who start small in the sense that they create one deck.
Yes.
And it may or may not, you know, go and do very well commercially. And there are all kinds of ways of promoting a deck that also open up different avenues and different approaches according to your personality. Some people, for example, will go straight to a publisher and
mm-hmm.
sell a deck on the open market in the normal commercial manner and get a royalty for it. Other people sell, you know, custom-made decks with short runs that are highly promoted inside the tarot community, and they make all their money rather quickly by selling out a limited edition.
Yes.
And then there are all kinds of things in between and around the sides of that. So there are different ways of doing that as well. And then there are people who make tarot jewelry.
Yes.
And there are people who, you know, in other words, people who make product, people who create services, people who do blog talk, you know, stuff, where they actually get to be so popular that they can, in a way, write their own ticket in other fields.
Absolutely.
And you are apparently a gregarious and social and verbal person. And for you, making friends and making colleagues and associates and doing business is an easy and comfortable thing. What would you recommend to a person who is a little bit more reticent?
Well, believe it or not, Wald, I'm actually an introvert, which is very shocking for people. I spent a lot of time by myself. In fact, my husband is gone today seeing Star Wars, and I'm thrilled because it gives me, like, my time to myself. So I'm actually highly introverted, but I always like to say I can extrovert it, and I can turn on extroversion in some circumstances. So a lot of people find it really hard to believe that I'm an introvert because I oftentimes operate very much like an extrovert. But speaking as an introvert, one of the things that I have found is I'm kind of, you know, a little nervous sometimes about being in groups and things like that. And I've learned that holding back like that is going to limit how much I allow into my life, not just people and friends, but it's going to limit how much of my business that I allow in my life, which sounds kind of weird, but it's really true. So I found that by getting out and meeting and greeting people, not just clients, but my peers, it's opened me up in wonderful ways. It's opened my business up in other ways. It's opened me up to receive. Let's put it that way. So I found, you know, actually I have to laugh. The internet is a wonderful way for shy and introverted people to get to know other people in their industry or to make clients. And when I finally got on the internet, which I had to be dragged onto it by my children, that's how I discovered the Reader Studio.
Oh.
And I never knew there were tarot conferences. And I'll never forget when I went to my first Reader Studio, I was really nervous. I didn't know anybody except from online. You know, that's how I started meeting people. So I had a lot of nerves. But once I was there, everyone made me feel really welcome because I think tarot people are some of the most friendliest, kindest people out there. And I found my tribe, so to speak. And so I've been coming every year to the Reader Studio now for, I think, about 6 years. And it's always been a wonderful way for me to get out of my shell, to learn about my peers, to meet my fans, and things of that nature. So I would say for people who are a little nervous, get online, join a Facebook group, find your tarot peers in social media, and maybe come to a conference or maybe a meetup in your area. There's lots of meetups. I think, doesn't Farrell Humphrey runs
yes.
A very successful meetup, and I think Cheryl Ryder runs a very successful meetup down in New Mexico.
Right.
So
Beth Howell's daughter runs a big meetup in North Carolina.
Yeah.
There are people in Denver. There are people all there. Meetups are all over. I mean, meetup in general is all over
yep.
the place. And meetup for tarot is really a big deal now.
Yes, and this is a great way for nervous people or people who are not confident to get out there. You know, Walt, when I was in my business in the beginning, there were very few tarot readers in my neighborhood, and there's still not that many in my neighborhood. And because we didn't have ways to really connect, we kind of like knew each other through the grapevine here and there. But what's really gotten beautiful is that in my neighborhood, we've all, thanks to the internet, have become very friendly. And we refer each other work all the time. In fact, a couple of my friends came last year to the Reader Studio. It was their first time. They represented Wisconsin very well. And they got to meet other tarot people and got out of their shells. I mean, this is the stuff, you know, whether you're doing it in your neighborhood at a meetup or attending a conference or just going online and meeting people.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, it's interesting, now that you mention it, starting, running, creating conferences is a whole business by itself.
Yes.
And there are a number of people who have a talent for that, a desire to do it, and have undertaken to do it. It's complex, but it's really fun and can be very profitable.
Right. Absolutely. I've done a few retreats here
mm-hmm.
and events, and they've always sold really well, and they're a lot of work, but they've been a really fabulous way, again, to give back to the community, to make money, and also to bring something unique forward. So that's another avenue, too, events, retreats. Barbara Moore just started doing a retreat last year, or this year. I think it was called Through the Looking Glass. So,
uh-huh.
you know, there's people who are doing all kinds of neat things like that now. And that is also really important for people who are listening to this podcast to know, is that you don't have to be limited to just being a tarot reader.
No, and, you know, there's another interesting avenue to explore if you want to, you know, broaden the scope, and that is that tarot is connected in a variety of ways to all sorts of other disciplines and skills, which are connected and associated in one way or another, oftentimes through magic, through psychology, through all kinds of different things. For example, tarot readers oftentimes create or develop businesses that are connected to, for example, aromatherapy, shamanism, astrology. There are all kinds of things that are connected to tarot that you might come to after you've come to tarot, or you might have
yeah.
had some connection with before you came to tarot, and the two things mix and mingle extremely well. And so you can create an eclectic business in which many things are going on, of which tarot is a part.
You know, that's true. In fact, I know a lot of Reiki healers who do Reiki but also do tarot.
Yeah. It is possible to use tarot in so many ways. Tarot is so flexible. It has so many connections to the world. that it is almost impossible to imagine that if you were really interested in tarot, you couldn't find some way to bring it to your neighbors, to your friends, to your family, to, you know, to even to strangers in a way that is profitable.
Right.
All you need to do is to be able to imagine it as a business.
Yes.
And that, I think, is what we're talking about here.
Right. I want to swing back to one thing, Walt, too. I want to talk about something that you talked about earlier, about some readers who, when they, even if they've been reading a while, they feel that they're not up to the task and they lack confidence. What would be your advice on how to develop confidence before you even begin doing the business thing?
My advice to all my students, and many of them are beginners, is go out and read. From the time you first pick up a tarot deck, where you look at the cards and have certain feelings and intuitions about them, even if you don't yet know anything academic about them, even if you've had no experience at all, be brave.
Yeah.
Read for yourself. Read for your closest friends. Read for your family. Allow yourself to be drawn into parties if you can. Whip out your deck on an airplane. Whip out your deck in a bar. Wherever it is that you find other people, you will find that tarot is a big attention draw. It's almost impossible not to find interest in almost any social situation you happen to find yourself in. If you take out a tarot deck, then all you need is the willingness to put yourself in front of other people. The more of it you do, the better you're going to get and the more confidence you're going to feel. That's really all you have to do. It's just do it. It's just literally a matter of doing it. And you can do it anywhere, anytime, with any group of people whatsoever.
Absolutely. You know, I always call my tarot deck my instant friend maker.
Uh-huh. Oh, I'll tell you another thing. For guys, I don't know about how it works in the other direction, but for guys who are interested in meeting, you know, social, to meeting people socially, you take out a tarot deck anywhere,
mm-hmm.
and you will find that it is a social magnet.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It
Wanna
always
meet somebody?
Is.
Yeah, if you're a guy looking for a girl, or if you're a guy looking for a guy, if you're anybody looking for anybody, go to a place where the people are that you might be interested in meeting and take out a tarot deck, and you will find them swarming over you.
Yeah. People, well, you know, people, they're looking for guidance, or
mm-hmm.
sometimes people just find it entertaining. So, again, they're instant friend makers. They're quite wonderful for that. Even if you don't start a business, you might start a whole new social life by bringing your cards out there, and that
Absolutely.
Is awesome.
But if you want to practice, if you want to get better and you want to know that you're doing a good job, you need to be a reader. You need to actually physically go out and do it. And if you're aware of the fact that you can elicit interest in a tarot reading almost anywhere and under almost any circumstances, then you know that you can do it if you want to. If you don't get out there and do it, you will not develop the confidence.
Right.
Without the confidence, you're not going to have the business.
I totally agree. And I'm also a big believer in continuing ed.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're reading books or taking classes or online classes or whatnot, I think that also helps to build confidence.
Oh, yeah. The more you know, the more confident you feel as a rule. And there is a very sizable proportion of my business, since I'm a teacher, there's a very sizable proportion of my business that comes from people who want to learn.
Yeah.
Who want to learn for two reasons. One, because they don't know anything and they want a place to start. And two, because they're experienced readers who have been working intuitively for many, many years, but have not actually yet undertaken a structured form of education.
Right.
So there is a value to that structure in both ways, both from the point of view of a beginner and from the point of view of educating a person who is intuitively confident and comfortable but has not yet got the knowledge. Either way, learning is a big deal. And if you're really passionate about something, you're going to want to know about it.
Oh, yeah, you're going to want to. And you know what? You never stop learning with tarot.
No.
I still find new things, and sometimes people will say something about an interpretation. And I'm like, wow, I never looked at it that way. That's really cool. I'm going to remember that.
I'll tell you something kind of funny. My interest in tarot has changed over the years. I began by making the normal assumptions that tarot was going to tell me something about daily life. That it would tell me how to negotiate the perils, the shallows, the difficulties, the reefs and the rocks, you know, that occupy everyday life, things to worry about, things to be naturally concerned with. Will this happen? Will that happen? How is this going to turn out? What's going to happen with that? The questions that are the norm and the bread and butter of tarot readers. So So most of my early time was spent answering questions like that from daily life, and that's what tarot was meant for, as far as I could tell. But my own proclivity, especially as I've gotten older, is to look for the mystery in things.
Mm-hmm.
And my primary concern these days is to use tarot to open up doorways into mysterious places that I've never looked at before, that have little or no apparent connection with everyday life, but are very deeply involving in terms of spirituality, mm-hmm. in terms of magic, in terms of my own personal development. I'm old enough now where I can afford that. It's a kind of a luxury.
Mm-hmm.
But I find that people are really, really curious and drawn to the idea of mystery. And so the degree to which one can study mystery is literally limitless. It's the nature of mystery not to be limited.
Right.
And so it's like diving into a bottomless pool.
Right.
The question is, how deep can you go before you have to come up for air?
Right.
And that's where I personally find my greatest pleasure. And these days, that's where my teaching tends to go. And believe it or not, there is an audience large enough to support me just in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And so from the point of view of learning, the amount you can learn about daily life is literally endless, and the amount you can learn about that which is beyond the ordinary is also endless. Whatever your proclivity is, you'll find no end of things to study.
Right, and what we're saying also then here is not only do we find no end of things to study with tarot, but we have an endless and unlimited supply of different ways we can work with it to serve people.
Let me ask you this. How would you go about translating an interest in tarot, with whatever background you've got in it, into a business large enough to sustain yourself when you get old enough that your normal forms of self-support are not there? Because we're talking here not so much about the general understanding that doing a tarot business might be a nice thing to do, but that at some point or another, you might find that doing a tarot business might be an important and a necessary
yeah.
thing to do. And at that point, you don't just want to be making a few bucks on the side.
Right.
How do you do that?
Well, the first thing that I want to say before I start diving into some of these little nuts and bolts is my father, when he hit 65, he retired. And my father was a traditional Virgo, and he loved to work. So when my father retired, my father went a little crazy. He drove my mother nuts. So he went out and got a job 2 months after he retired, which saved their marriage, and it gave him a sense of purpose. So I think if you are near retirement or even not near retirement, working is good for you. It gives you a sense of purpose and meaning. And I think that's very important for all of us to consider that, you know, in this day and age also, the economy is not what it used to be, and having a business, whether it's a part-time business or a full-time business, is going to create more security for you, but it's also going to give you something meaningful to do with your time. So I'm a huge believer in that. I don't plan on a full retirement, Walt. I plan on being like my dad. You know, I'm my dad's daughter. I will continue to work because my work gives me meaning, and I do like, you know, making money. I don't want to just sit around and get rusty here.
Well, you know, in the old days, which was not all that long ago, but is actually now a time in the past, I think, retirement was your way of removing yourself from the dull grind of something you didn't particularly care to do.
Yep.
Most people's jobs are not all that meaningful. They're simply a place to go, a seat to fill with a warm body, to do jobs that other people invent for you to do, and their main purpose is to pay the bills.
Right.
If you've done that long enough, it might get a bit tiresome, and by the time you reach retirement age, you're very glad to take your check, your monthly check or your weekly check from the retirement, you know, program, whatever you've got, and go fishing or whatever. And at that point, you may discover that you need work in order to make your life fulfilling, and then you
yep.
get the choice of what work you want to do instead of doing something somebody else wants you to do. But in a case like yours, you did what you wanted to do from very early on. So from a certain point of view, you'll never retire because retirement is not an issue. There's no division
right.
between the before and after of something you don't like to do and something you do like to do. You're doing what you like to do, and you're having a great deal of fun at it. So what would be the conceivable point of retiring?
Exactly, and that's one thing that I think is really important to get across to my fellow tarot readers. If you love this work and you turn it into work, you're never going to feel like you're working, ever. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's times where, believe me, you probably know this as I do, the work can be really tough. It's not like I'm just sitting around tossing a deck of cards. You're dealing with human problems. You're dealing with sensitive situations. You know, it does require a certain mindset. And then, of course, I'm handling all my finances and bookkeeping and marketing and all that stuff. So there's real business to it. But it's meaningful work. I love what I do. And if our fellow tarot readers love reading and turn this into work, they're going to find that they really enjoy going to work every day. Again, exceptions to every rule. We have our days too. You know, it's not all fun and glory. But for the most part, when you love what you do, it doesn't feel like even the hard stuff is bad. It feels like, okay, it's just a moment. It's just a day.
How do you get from being a professional tarot reader who reads occasionally at a party or does a one-day-a-week gig to being a full-time, supportive, self-supporting business? That's my main concern, because I'm guessing there are two categories of listeners to this program. One is a group of people who have no real knowledge of tarot as a business and have not ever done it or been doing it. And the other is a group of people who have been doing tarot as a small business for a long time, know very well how to do that, would continue to do that, but need to do more of it. They need to build it into something that it sustains them more consistently and thoroughly. What's the difference between the two? Because I'm mainly concerned with what happens when a person's life becomes difficult and painful due to losses of one kind or another, which tend to happen over time. What do you do when things get tricky and you need more than you've got? How do you improve, increase, and augment something that's relatively simple and easy into something that is more demanding and more rewarding?
Well, here's my tips for business. Well, the first thing before we even talk about expanding is you have to be, again, and I mentioned this earlier, you have to be really clear on who you're going to serve and what problems your business is going to solve. For example, your problem might be people need to learn how to read tarot. I need to start a business teaching tarot. Or maybe you see the problem is that you have a lot of lovelorn women around you, so you're going to start reading a business specializing in love relationships. Get clear on what it is you are going to do, what problems you're going to solve. Get clear on what kind of people you're going to serve and how you're going to work. And that starts by really laying out a business plan. And it doesn't have to be a formal business plan, by the way. But you have to have an idea, some kind of an idea, some kind of a sketch of how you're going to operate. Actually, Bennebelle Wen, who wrote the book Holistic Tarot, she's got a wonderful blog. She has a free business plan that you can download on her site, and you can find it under a blog post called Workbook for Devising Your Professional Tarot Business Plan. It's a wonderful workbook. I highly recommend that everyone who listens go to her site. That's at BennebelleWen.com, and look for the post Workbook for Devising Your Professional Tarot Business Plan. Download that. It gives you a whole bunch of questions to think through so that you can get really ultra clear on what kind of business you want to create. I think that is the most important thing to do, because, Walt, when I started my business, I had no clarity on any of that, and that would help me out a lot, because I made mistakes early on because I wasn't clear on how I needed to work or how I worked best.
The more you know, the more time it saves you.
Absolutely. So I do recommend we start there. The next thing, once you have your clarity, you know, then you're going to be needing to figure out how much you want to charge. That also comes in with the clarity thing. So how do we figure out how much to charge? Well, you know, I think one of the things, if you're new, you might want to look around and see what other readers in your area are charging. That's going to give you a pretty good indicator of what people in your area are going to pay. Or you might just really listen to your own gut instincts and ask yourself, what number feels good for me? Usually when I ask tarot people to do this, though, they always way undercharge.
Yes.
I always have to tell them, we need to up that a little bit. But that's so important to know, how much should I charge? What is my business all about? Because once you have all of these started, the rest of the stuff is just nuts and bolts. So once you have your clarity, then I say next thing you want to do is figure out how are people going to contact you. So you're going to need an email, and you're going to need a phone number. That phone number can be your cell phone, or you can have a separate line in your home, you know, whatever's easy for you. There's also something called Google Voice, and Google Voice, it's free. It's like a voicemail service, and you can even have it ring directly to your phone, but it doesn't give out your personal number. That's something that people can sign up for, and that way they can have a number that people can reach them, and they don't have to give away their personal private number if that's something they're not comfortable with. But you need people to be able to contact you. And you can do it all under the whole Google thing, which makes it really easy because they have, you know, Gmail, and you can get the Google Voice, so people can get set up really easily there.
Do you, by the way, have yourself a mentoring or teaching program for people who want to start a tarot business?
I do offer mentoring, yes. I offer mentoring. I also have a lot of e-books on business and different aspects of business that will give people everything they need to totally get started or to fine-tune the business that they're already running. So, yeah, I have all that.
The reason I ask is because in a short, you know, session of time that we have here, it's impossible to cover everything that needs to be known.
Oh, yeah. No, it's totally impossible. But there's, you know what, Walt? There's also information all over the web, too, that's even free that people can find. I write tons of blog posts on business. They can go right to my website and find all kinds of information there. And people like Benabel Wen are writing wonderful posts on business for tarot people. So there's stuff out there for you that can help you. But what I'm saying here is the very basic things that you need to get started is clarity and a way for people to contact you.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting that one of the issues of business is that business has a life of its own.
Yeah.
And because it has a life of its own, it's not simply a mechanical device.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a machine that you press the button and it churns out product. A business is a piece of living material.
Yes.
And all things that live do it organically.
Yes.
They start from a seed or you know, a little bit of, you know, sperm and egg kind of thing. They begin almost without any sense of where they're going.
Right.
They begin because they need to begin. And then they follow their nose and they do what comes naturally, and little bit by little bit, something emerges from it that takes
mm-hmm.
shape and form over time. And even if you have great clarity at the beginning, you're still going to find that you need to get in there and do it. Just like with tarot readings itself,
yes.
You have to go out and do it.
Yes. You have to build your confidence.
You have to build your confidence. You have to make your mistakes. You have to try stuff out. You have to learn constantly. And the things that you do, which have an emphasis on business, are exactly the kind of thing that a person needs to be aware of when they get started. They need to know that there are people who specialize in teaching other people
yep.
how to do business. And they have to follow their instincts, and they have to follow their leads. They have to get on the net. They have to get on the web.
Yes.
They have to do the things that they need to do and simply do it. They have to go register a sole proprietorship or a partnership if they're working with somebody else and find out what to do. And just like with doing readings, you've got to go and do it.
Absolutely. And, you know, leading back to expanding your business, you know, here what I'm talking about is the very basics to get you started. Now, I ran my business with just business cards
uh-huh.
and a phone number for years.
Yeah.
For years. And my website has not been up that long. And I have to tell you, when I got an email address, and this is my big piece of advice on how to expand,
uh-huh.
you knew I was going to get there.
Yeah.
Once I went on the web and I got a website up and I got an email address and I learned how to market, because marketing is key, and I got a little story about this in a second. Once I figured that part out, my business exploded.
Uh-huh.
I actually have to turn off my email reading buttons so I can get a day off. So there, let me tell you, when I tell people there's a lot of work out there, I'm not kidding.
Right.
There's plenty of work out there, and if you want to expand, you can start small and just be local. That's a great way to get your feet wet. But once you are ready to make more a bigger business and to expand, you really have to reach people in a bigger way, and there's no better way than the Internet. It works so wonderful. Social media, websites, all of that stuff, you know, it gives you the opportunity to go as big as you really want to go. So once you have the basics set up, then when you're ready to expand, I think the most important thing for people to do is really overcome their tech fears and get on the web, because that is going to be the thing that really changes things. And I got to tell you, when I started out my business, Walt, I didn't market. I had those, you know, business cards, and I did a lot of word of mouth, and I did just fine like that. And one day when I was finally putting my website up, I was talking to this guy who ran a yoga studio, and he goes, so what's your marketing plan? And I said, gee, I don't have one. I also think I'm just going to get the business I deserve. And he looked at me like I was crazy. And as soon as those words came out of my mouth, Walt, I realized I was crazy. And I had been leaving money off the table for years. And that is finally like a light went on, and I started learning how to market. I've only been marketing for a few years. It's had an amazing impact on my business. And I've learned how to market really well with social media. It's been phenomenal for me.
Do you actually have a business registered at your local government office?
Yep, we got a DBA, all that jazz.
Okay. Do you recommend that if a person wants to begin a business, that they should do it formally and actually register as a sole proprietor or a partnership?
You don't have to register a sole proprietor. That doesn't have to be registered. But you are going to have to register a DBA, which means doing business as.
Right.
And that may be all your state requires. In Wisconsin, for a sole proprietor, you do not have to, like, register that. But you do have to get a DBA. So I have one for the tarot lady. You know, for my yoga studio, that is registered as an LLC, and I have an EIN number, which
That's
is an
right.
employee identification number. But for most people, a sole proprietor requires very, very little, if any, paperwork. You have to check with your local government, though, because it's going to be different in every state.
That's right. The reason I ask is because there is a certain sense of having taken a real step.
Yeah.
If you formalize your business.
Yes, actually, it does feel better. When I formalized the DBA, I was like, okay, now we're getting down to some real business here.
Yes.
So, you know, that's an important step. It's going to make you feel legit. You know, there's a lot of that little stuff that you have to think about down the road. And I want to say this, too. You don't have to do it all at once. You can wean yourself into your business and grow as you're comfortable. So, again, you might start out sole proprietor. Maybe your state might not need a lot of paperwork. And if you don't have a name like the Tarot Lady, you might just be simply, you know, Teresa Reed. I don't necessarily have to get a DBA for that then. That might cut my paperwork down to nothing, to very little. But if I'm selling a product like tarot T-shirts, well, then I have to get a seller's permit. Those are not expensive, not here at least.
One of the things that happens, though, is that the number of details that you have to be aware of and take care of proliferates as you become more formal.
Yes.
So it becomes additional effort. It's no longer a matter of simply doing readings. Now all of a sudden it's a matter of keeping track of expenses, going to your CPA and doing your taxes and various other things like that. And the more money you make, the more money you want to make, the more sizable and detailed your business structure will need to become.
Well, one of the things I do is I do my own record keeping because I'm really into, like, here's one of my nerdies. I'm really nerdy. I love doing record keeping. I love doing money management. I'm into it. And that's something that's always been in my nature. I'm actually quite good at managing money. I think in another lifetime, Walt, I was a banker. Because
it
I just
be.
I just enjoy playing around with money and managing it. And I just have a knack for that, too. But one of the things I did early on in my business is I got an accountant to do all my tax stuff. And I've been with Sam now for about 20 years, and he is the most amazing human being and whip-smart, most talented accountant that I could ever ask for, and he matches my philosophy. I'm actually a fiscal conservative, and he is too. So I'm like, I don't want anything risky here, no red flags. I want everything done by the books. So my bookkeeping is very, very clean and clear and easy to understand, and he manages my taxes, which now are quite complicated because we have a, you know, our home is a, we have a rental unit. and my husband and I are both self-employed, and I have the tarot business. I have a little side gig doing a yoga studio. You know, so we have very complicated taxes, and I have my wonderful accountant who has watched me grow all these different things, and he's really helped me to stay safe and out of trouble.
Well, we have, I think, come pretty close to the end of our time.
We are. We're coming right down to the end. And, you know, this is just a conversation now where we have really just begun scratching the surface. But
that's basically it. We've scratched the surface. We've opened up questions.
Yes.
We suggested directions to move in. But because of the nature of the discussion, actual usable details are few and far between because they're simply very hard to get in there. To do an organized process of teaching a person how to be in business as compared to simply how to pursuing a passion is a whole different kettle of fish. And would you give some clue as to how a person could step by step in a systematic way learn how to be a business person?
Absolutely, Walt. Best way for people to learn how to be a business person is by spending time with a lot of other entrepreneurs. And one place that I recommend really highly for people is that they look into joining SCORE, and that's going to give you a free business mentor. SCORE, you can find them at score.org. They're a wonderful service. There are also other people like myself who do offer mentoring that's really specifically for people who are involved, you know, in the tarot business. So I'm one that they can look to. Another person that I really like is Kellyanne Maddox. She has this wonderful little Facebook page, Walt, called Heart-Centered Small Business Owners.
Uh-huh.
And it's a great place where you can get mentoring, you can connect with other tarot peers or other people involved in sacred arts, and they can, you know, kind of support each other and help each other find their way forward. So if you are looking to start your business, you can find someone like me. You can join Kellyanne Maddox's wonderful free Facebook page called Heart-Centered Small Business Owners, or join SCORE. SCORE is amazing, and you're going to get so much help there. It is one of the best things for anybody, whether you're new to business or seasoned or looking to expand what you're doing. I highly recommend SCORE.
There is also the issue of making a small business grow into a larger one, and there are a lot of people online who make a business that are teaching you how to do that.
Yes.
Marketing gurus and financial gurus and business gurus of various kinds. And I use the word guru, you know, on purpose. They are literally guides and mentors of a very high order who have demonstrated their own ability to accomplish this and can teach you how to do it. They make a business out of teaching other people how to grow, how to become really successful and to increase the size and scope of their business, whatever business they have. And I think, as you discovered, marketing and a variety of other tactical matters and strategic matters are necessary, really necessary, to go from small to medium to large.
Yes.
And if you're going to support yourself, if you are going to make up for the loss of income from a missing spouse, or if you have some other issue like health or whatever that made you lose whatever income you had originally, you're going to need to do better than just do a little bit. You're going to need to do better than dabble. And for that, you have to have a way to grow, and that's not something you can easily find out by doing. You need to find out by going to people who can teach you.
Yes. And, you know, the person that I recommend the most for people is a woman named Rachel Cook. Rachel Cook used to have a business called The Yogipreneur. The Yogipreneur is still around, but she now goes by Rachel Cook, and it's R-A-C-H-E-A-L Cook. She's got the most fantastic business program, Conscious Business Design, and she's amazing. She is like my favorite person that I watch quite closely. Another person that I highly recommend is Tara Gentile, and that's spelled G-E-N-T-I-L-E. She is also an amazing business whiz. Those are the two people, I think, if you're going to watch anybody, those are the two people to watch. They are not tarot-related, but these are women who really know business, and they know it well.
Also, there's another interesting thing about this. There seems to be a predominance of women in the field of tarot reading. It's not as predominant as it used to be, not as overwhelmingly, you know, female as it used to be, but it's still largely a woman's profession. And there are a number of women who have made it their business to teach women how to be independent business people.
Yeah. And the gals that I mentioned are the ones that I highly recommend the most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, it seems to me that it's a big subject that we barely opened up, and a lot more needs to be done on it. But do you think that we have given people enough of a direction so that they can follow it on their own?
Absolutely. And what I'd like to say for everybody who's listening, if you're thinking about starting a tarot business, whether that be on the side or full-time, or whether you're taking your business and looking to expand it, just get started somewhere. Get help. Find a way for people to contact you. Find a way to get yourself out there. Meet your peers. That is going to help you a lot. You know, because we're all in it together. That's going to make your world a little less lonely, and you're going to find your way through what we are talking about today, some of the avenues we've presented here, but also from just getting out there and connecting with others. You're going to find your way. So what I'd like to tell people here is that you need to talk to your peers and ask how they did it. Get involved in those different groups like the one I recommended, Kelly Ann Maddox. Both tarot-related and business-related, by the way, get involved with all of them. Get over to the Reader Studio Facebook page. Continue this conversation. And find out how other people did it. Keep getting education about business, about tarot. You know, you can be a confident business owner with a sustainable business that suits your lifestyle. And it all begins by treating it like a business.
Absolutely correct.
So
what are we going to do next?
Oh, well, I'm going to get to that in just a second, Walt, because the next part that we are going to be discussing is going to be something that really segues nicely from what we're talking about today. We are going to be talking next time about technology. Technology is something that is always evolving, and it is something that we have to stay on top of, whether we are business people or whether we are just tarot people. We have to stay on top of technology because technology is going to keep on happening whether we like it or not. So we've got a lot to discuss next time. That's a good one, right?
It'll be interesting because you have done your homework. You've done the work that you need to do. I am a very late arrival in this particular area, and even so, what I've done has been useful to me, and the need to do more has become perfectly self-evident.
Right, and you're going to be a great role model for everyone who's listening in.
Yes, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yes. So I'd like to finish off with a little quote, and I think this quote is also perfect. This quote is from Eleanor Roosevelt, one of my greatest heroes. And the quote is, "Do one thing every day that scares you." It's a great way to end this one. So for everyone who's listening, you have just finished listening to What If, a podcast for tarot professionals. This is on episode 2 out of 6. To listen to all 6 episodes for free, visit thetarotlady.com and click on the podcast tab under freebies, or you can download them directly from iTunes. Be sure to tune into the next episode, which Walt and I just discussed. We are going to be talking about technology, and we're going to talk about how to stay on top of the always changing technological landscape, even if you are a technophobe. This podcast was recorded at the Tarot Lady Hub and edited by Teresa Reed. And our opening song was written by Dr. Christopher Lloyd Clark at royaltyfreemeditationmusic.com and used with permission. Special thanks to all the professional tarot readers all over the world who are wonderful role models for the tarot community and for making a difference every day in the lives of the people they serve. And again, I'm your host, Teresa Reed, and my co-host is Wald Amberstone, and we are wishing you a beautiful rest of your day and many blessings. See you next time.
Good night, Teresa.
Good night.